The word, folks, this right here, I can't tell you how vitally and important it is to get this in you. Because when you pray, this is what you pray. Now, I was raised in a little Methodist church, and I was raised when they were having altar calls and they were having a few things like that that was going on. But you were taught to go to the altar and whine and cry and sob and beg God to help you. And that's not at all. It was totally opposite of what you were supposed to be doing. And I hope before we get done with this that you'll recognize the answer is the word. And all we have to do is give the word back to him, and he's going to answer the prayer because he promises to. No matter what the situation, and everybody here has got a different situation going on in their life. I spent 7 days in the hospital, and really, when I was by myself, that's where I had to go because I had no clue what was going on. I knew I had heart trouble. I knew something was going on, but I also knew this right here. You say, well, what if you wouldn't have got healed? But what if I did? You know, that's the crazy part. The disbeliever will say, well, what if it don't work? What if it does? And in fact, when you realize that it does work, ask Raymond. He's healed. Feeling better and going on. You say, well, what if he dies tomorrow? He's still ahead of the ball game. That's the crazy part about it all. We win no matter what. But prayer is communion with God for the manifestation of God's glory. That's what prayer is. Prayer is just, it's such a simple thing. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Well, the word hold fast there is a Greek word. It literally means to rush forward, to seize and hold tight something of overpowering force. So when you read that, it's telling you to rush forward in your prayer life. And take the confession of our hope, which is this right here, and to repeat that and repeat that and repeat that and get this so inside of you that when anything comes up in your life that's not positive, you throw the word on it and you watch and you hold fast to that and you recognize that there's power behind it and it's going to change your life. And we said this last week and I've said it many times before. Prayer is like laying a train track. The locomotive that runs down here next to the river, I promise you, you pull the track up and that train is coming to a stop. Thousands of horsepower, but it's not going anywhere. Prayer is the same way. God gives us prayer power beyond anything that you can even imagine, folks. I think when we get to heaven, it's going to be one of those things where we go, wow, I wish I would have worked on my words a little bit more. No condemnation, but yet I think we're going to recognize we had a lot more power in us than we ever, ever, ever used. But prayer is laying the track for that locomotive, all that horsepower to run down that train. I mean, I've always been amazed with freight trains anyway. I lived in a town where coal trains was coming and going all the time. I was one of the guys that would sneak down and put a penny on the track and smash it out, you know. Had the train run over it. Or I was the guy that would run down and steal the fusees that they would throw out back in the day instead of having a lantern. And I lived by trains all the time. But to think that one engine could pull all those coal cars. And it would take a while to get going. But once he got going, then it took a while to get stopped. But that's the power that's in us. If I need something, and I know it lines up with the word, all I have to do is pray. You say, well, does it always work? Yes, it's a guarantee. Now, sometimes it comes in a different route, but it always works. He always takes care of us, and he always will. He says he will. Romans 15:13 says, I pray that God, the New Living Translation, I pray that God, the source of our hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with a confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Once you recognize the power that you've got in you, the joy of walking with the things of God. That movie was so good last night because you've seen the typical situation where the lady got saved and her thing was, I can't explain it. I just know that I know that I know that I know. Amen. My life has changed. And he was completely the other way. Well, you've changed so much I can't hardly stand being around you. That all turned around in time. But fact is, she knew it's by faith. And we just know that we know that we know. And the more we get in the Word and the more we recognize how powerful prayer is, the more excited. Jay, open that for me, because if I do, I'll have water everywhere. I don't care if you do, because my hands will be dry. I had a wrong motive there, didn't I? We've got to get this. Everybody take your hand. Put it right here. That's your problem. Right there. No, it's not the girl sitting next to you. Point at your own head. It is. This is our, everybody here. I had a day today. 12:05, 12:15, something like that, I woke up this morning. And I went, are you kidding me? You know how you can tell when you're going to be awake? So I wrestled and wrestled and wrestled and got up and laid down and got up and laid down and got up and laid down and got up and laid down. And the only way I could win is when I took that right there and I spoke it. Then I would fall asleep a little while and I'd wake up and something else would come up and another whole different route. And I have to go right back there every time. Well, you know, it was crazy, even crazier for the day for me. I went home at 12 o'clock, or I went at 8. I come back to the house about a little after 1. I went in and laid my head back just a second before I was going to go to work. Guess what time? I woke up at 3 o'clock. So God knew all that was going to go on, and he took care of me and gave me a rest for tonight. But he always takes care of us. Always, always. And when you can get that, it makes joy in your heart all the time. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Oh, how we need to do that. Watch how much news you watch. Be real careful how much feeding you get from what's going on. Watch the news. It's going to give you, there's nothing wrong with knowing what's going on. Just don't listen to their opinion. Can I say it that way? It's good to get the facts of what happened, but I don't need to know what they think about it. Who are they? Everybody on the news, by the way, I don't know if you all knew that. Everybody like on Fox News, they're all multimillionaires. So they don't have the same opinion that you and I do. But they have an opinion, but I don't want their opinion. I need this opinion. And the more I get this opinion, the more I can pray and what we're talking about, and the more I can direct my words in the right direction. We start recognizing in that, as we set our mind on him, we start recognizing his voice in our thinking. And we start getting our thoughts in line with the way it's got to go. And then as you get your thoughts in line, then his will comes into your will, or your will comes into his will, let's say it right. And then you speak his will through your will, and then that's prayer. That's every day just talking to God. You don't have to get down on your knees. You don't have to get in some distorted way. You just talk to him like we're talking now. And you just get his direction in your life, and you watch. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me every time. John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, and he hears us. Well, to know his will, then I've got to know his word. I've got to be around his word. I've got to do what you're doing tonight. I've got to get around where the word's being taught. I've got to hear other things about the word. I've got to hear the answer. It pays to go to movies that are like I watched last night. That's the kind of stuff that... have you seen The Chosen yet? Anybody? Oh, you got to go see The Chosen. It just reinforces everything that goes on here. And you get to where you start watching Jesus so much, you just want to be just like he's acting. And you get to where you see the change in the characters of Peter, and you want to be just like Peter's acting. And why? Because they're acting the word. They're doing the word. They're living the word. They're thinking the word. They're allowing the word to be them. But I want to go into, if you will, go to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is asked, how do I pray? The disciples ask him, how do I pray? And early on in my Christian walk, you hear the large prayer quoted over and over and over and over. And I thought, that's a prayer. That's not a prayer. That's an outline for a prayer. And when you get a handle on what he's got laid out here, you can spend, I'm telling you, you say, well, I can't pray very long. Yes, you can, when you follow the outline that he laid out for us. You can spend hours if you follow the outline. And it's such a simple thing to walk through as we walk through this. In Matthew 6, 9 through 13, verse 9, I won't read it yet, but verse 9 talks about the promises. Verse 10 talks about your priorities. Verse 11 talks about the provisions. Verse 12 talks about your personal fellowship and your relationships. Verse 13 talks about the power and the praise of what God's done for you. Well, I want to walk through this, and there's so much I could say on this, but we'll just go until we run out of time today. Starting with verse 9, he says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Well, let's just stop right there. John brought one of them up earlier. He is our redemption. So you start your prayer life out by thanking him for what he's done for us. You start thinking, it doesn't have to be any ardor, but it can be stuff that you've picked up as you've learned the word and stuff that you picked up through your walk of Christianity. Recognize, he died for you so that you would be righteous. You're in right standing with God because of Jesus. We thank him for that. That's part of his name. We thank him that we've been sanctified because of his blood. We thank him that when God looks down and sees you and I, he doesn't see the sin and the mistakes in our thought lives. He doesn't see that at all. These are the things that when you start your prayer time, Lord, thank you that you're with me. Lord, thank you that you never leave me, you never forsake me. Lord, thank you that you take care of all my needs. Anything and everything that I ever need, you always have for me. See, when you start your prayer life in that, and you start just thanking him for your wife, thanking him for your husband, thanking him for your church, thanking him for your pastor. You can do that anytime you want to. Thanking, the list goes on and on. If you think about it, folks, we all woke up this morning, and we all put our feet on the floor, and we all got up and got going. There's always somebody that's in worse shape than we are, so we can say, Lord, thank you that you've took care of me. Thank you that you're teaching me to walk in your peace and not in the peace of the world. Lord, thank you that you supply everything I have. Lord, thank you that you sealed me with the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going anywhere. What an awesome thing to even think about that you're saved and you're going to heaven, and rapture's coming any moment. Sometimes I wish it would be like right now. But it's not. But it's going to be. But to think that there's going to be people left on this earth. You want to just take a few minutes in your beginning. Lord, thank you that because of your word, I didn't have to work for this. I didn't have to sacrifice anything for this. All I had to do is just believe that you died for me. That's it. It's all by grace. To think that that could even be accomplished doesn't make sense to us, because we've always been brought up, clean your room or else. Haven't we? We've always been brought up on the work program. You do this and I'll do this for you. You do this and I'll love you. You don't do that, I don't love you anymore. But that's not what happened with this. He died because he loved you so much. And Lord, thank you. We're still in verse 9. We're still at the place of just, Lord, hallowed be your name. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, you want to talk about getting into some long, lengthy thing. I always, when I walk through this, and this is probably done every day, Lord, thank you that your will is going to be done in my life. I got to get this guy straightened out first. Now, that's not being selfish. That's just getting things in order. Lord, I'm a mess, and I want to do your will. And then, you say, well, where do I go? Well, then you go to your family. Lord, I lift up my kids. I lift up Christopher. I lift up Brad. I lift up Keith. And then you got all their kids. And you can lift up, Lord, I thank you that your will is going to be done in their lives. And then as you're praying for them, you know personal things that's going on. You can lift that up if it's his will. you lift it up in those things. I've even got things in my life, folks, that I'm arguing with God about. But that doesn't do any good. It's kind of like when Jesus was in the garden. He didn't want to go through the cross. And he said, is there any other way I can do this? But your will be done. And that's what we're talking about. And then you can pray for people you know. Mr. Coffey was on my heart for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks there. I mean, just every morning he would come up my heart just heavy. Lord, your will be done in his life. And you're the healer. Your word says you're the healer. So I'm just asking that your will be done in his life. And you say, well, did that make a difference? I know it did. Because I know prayer works. But you're only on verse 10, and you're spending time talking about his will be done in your life. And you start with your life, you go to the family, you go to friends, you go to church, you go to government, you go to anything and everything that comes up in your heart. Lord, your will be done in these situations and circumstances. And it all is part of what you're doing in your prayer life, and it's all things that comes up in your heart. And then you can go to verse 11. It says, verse 11, it goes on and it says, give us this day our daily bread. Well, is that being selfish? No, he's got to supply my needs. Now, you got to remember, this was written before the new covenant. This was written before, so some of this has to be adjusted in your prayer life, because he promises to take care of your needs. So, Father, thank you. I've made mistakes in my finances. How many's made mistakes with credit cards? Everybody here's probably done that. It's somewhere in their life. You know the best thing to do with a credit card? Either tear it up or pay for it every 30 days. Money back guarantee, that's what you do every 30 days, 30 days. And then it won't get you. Lord, give me wisdom. I thank you that you give me this day my daily bread. I thank you that you supply the needs that I have. I thank you that the things that I've done have been silly. I thank you that you forgive me and you're helping me get out of these situations. You give me the grace for that. I'll never forget buying a car called an Eagle. Well, I'm telling you what, that bird landed. That car cost me for years. And I knew when I drove off the parking lot that I shouldn't have bought it. Lord, thank you for supplying my needs, and thank you for helping me make right decisions in all the things that I do, all the things that take place. You say, well, what good does that do? That's what prayer is. It lays the track. It very good. It gets you to that place where things you don't even know is going on. He already knows tomorrow for me. He already knows everything I'm going to do. I actually had plans tomorrow. I had my toolbox ready. I was going to do some work at Donna's house. I had it all sitting at the front door. And Donna calls me and said, Bob, come over. And all that stuff you was going to do yesterday, he just finished. And I'm going, okay, God, what do you got now? Mm-hmm. It's his day. It's not my day. Lord, your will be done. You supply my needs. You must have something else going on that I need to get accomplished. You're the one that supplied my needs. Give us this day our daily bread. How many times have we... Oh, I can't even count the times as we were building this building and we were needing sometimes $10,000, $25,000 in 2 or 3 days. You think that didn't come up? Yeah. Lord, this is your church. You know who tithes and you know who don't. And you know those out there. I can't even tell you the number of times that we've got checks for $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and $6,000 from people that don't even go to this church. Just the other day, one come up, $2,200, $2,236.54. Perfect timing. Why? Because I've learned to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread and take care of every need that we have in this church. Insurance is like a couple $1,000s a month, folks. It takes a lot of money to run a church, but God's never failed us yet. Well, why? Because he's taught the leadership how to pray that prayer right there. Give us this day. And he does. It's so exciting to watch it over and over and over and over and over and over. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, that's not talking about the money you owe somebody. That's talking about forgiveness. I can't spend enough time on that. When you recognize how much he forgave you and I.
That's right.
I mean, he knows our thoughts. And, you know, and back when guys were going through all this craziness in our life of turning into a man, they're being trained now by the world how to have their thoughts. Well, that's the wrong thoughts. And then you find out in Scripture those are the wrong thoughts. Aren't you glad you got a forgiving God, guys? Mm-hmm. Girls? And it's just everyday life. And how many times have you got so mad at somebody you wanted to shoot them or hit them? Or I was going to smack Greg a while ago. And, you know, just kidding. And I don't go there anymore, ever. I did. And I think about some of my thoughts and some of the how mad I was at somebody. Well, who am I? And then I've got a God that forgave me for all of those things that I've said, those things that I've done. So my place is, when you read this, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, I cannot hold unforgiveness against anybody. And I could absolutely, there's not a big enough book for the amount of times that this pastor has been stabbed in the back. Not purposely by many people, but still have it. And I had to learn way back. 30, how many years, Doc? About 36 years ago. I got to forgive everybody that I come across. No matter how much they act like they love me.
I know.
You say, well, Pastor, well, I don't want to get bitter. I don't want to get old and bitter. I want to get old and wise. And to do that, I have to pray, Lord, I got people that hurt me. Thank you for giving. I personally don't like them. I personally have trouble forgiving them, but I know you've already forgiven them for me. So, Father, through you help me act like it never even happened. And you've got to get to that place in your life. And when you do, married people, young people is getting married, the biggest trick to a good marriage is forgiveness. You don't talk about it, you just forgive and go on. You don't talk about it, you just forgive and go on. You just forgive, because they're different than you are. They were not raised in the same household. They're weird. They do weird things. That's because you weren't raised that way. That's what you think. So this in this prayer is so vitally important. He chose to forgive me for everything I've ever done in my life. And and tomorrow. I'm going to make mistakes tomorrow and the next day. He already knows that, but he already forgave me for that. So this is a vital thing in his prayer. Lord, help me to cope with people. Lord, help me to not think that I know everything. Help me to listen to people. Help me to open my ears, open my eyes. Help me, Lord. Lord, thank you. He just does it. He just does it because he's the God that does it. It's amazing. The next one. Actually, the way you should read it is, and do not lead us into temptation. He's not going to lead you into temptation. The Bible tells us that. This is before. I've got it wrote down in my scripture. And do not allow me to yield to temptation. Everybody here is tempted to do things they shouldn't do. You want me to give you the key to temptation? Quit thinking about it. Wherever you're tempted. I just recently was looking at a new car. Greg just got a new truck. How'd he get it? He thought about it. I've been looking at a new Tesla. Thinking about it. I had it pulled up on the website. Thinking about it, looking at the colors. Thinking about it. Donna called and she said, what are you doing? And I said, I just ordered a new car. How'd that happen? Now, is that a wrong temptation? That's not the point. The point is, any temptation, you'll go there if you keep thinking about it. And if you start getting into temptations that are evil, temptations that aren't God's will, adultery, living in sin, stealing, robbing. I mean, if you drove by the bank every day, and you started thinking every day how you could get in and steal that money, if you start every day you drove by, how could I do this? You eventually are going to try it. You say, does that make it right? No. Lead me not into temptation. Keep me from going places I don't need to go. Stop me from... You say, well, Pastor, you ordered a new car. Well, I put money down on a car, but that doesn't mean I have to buy it. And I've got till May to decide, really. But it's still a temptation. Somebody does something against me, and I want to talk about them. I've got a temptation to talk about them. Oh, it's so easy to do that. Find somebody that just like you that don't like them either. And that's where you'd go first. You heard about Greg, haven't you? Oh, he's a real jerk. That guy's a real jerk, that Greg. But how easy that temptation, especially when you've not been trained, and especially when you're a carnal Christian. You love God, but yet you're stupid. Can I say it that way? Because we all go there and have been there. But our goal is to learn the word to where we don't go there. We don't yield to those things that the enemy is always trying to talk, always trying to pull us down, always trying to put things on us, always trying to take thoughts. That's where I struggle, folks. He'll take a thought about somebody, and then he'll play it over in my mind and play it over in my mind, and the more I think on it, I'm yielding to that thought. And I've got to come to the place of God, no, this is the thought that I've got to have. So that's what we can back up in what we've been talking about. And you've got to take everything to Christ. You've got to think, keep your mind on the things above. That's all part of what this prayer is. This prayer is showing you an outline of where to go and to what to do and how to allow him to do the work in your life. Verse 12. That's really, I've got wrote down, that's your personal fellowship and your relationship. We've got to recognize that we have got to learn to get along with everybody that we're around all of the time. And to do that, you've got to control that area of forgiveness in your life. You've got to control that area of thought in your life. You've got to control that. You got someone that just drives you. Does anybody have anybody that just drives you nuts? You love everybody, huh? Well, we're supposed to. Some people are harder to deal with. And those are the ones, Lord, help me. Help me just to listen. I'm real bad at that. And I've confessed to that a million times, and I'm still working on it. I speak quicker than I should sometimes. I'm working on it. Forgive me. But I'm going to try to forgive you too, because I don't like you either. I mean, that's the way it's got to work. It is the way it is. It has to work. It goes on and said, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, help me. You wanna destroy your life? Start running around with people that aren't living this. Start hanging out. Well, you know, there's nothing really going on. You just continue to hang around with them. You continue. It says there, but deliver us from the evil one. Well, the evil one works through everybody else's lives to get to you. Tries to pull you down without you even knowing you're being pulled down. And all this is what we're doing in the midst of prayer. That's why Jesus says, this is how you pray. This is how you do it to protect yourself and take care of yourself. And I love how verse 13, how it ends. It gets you right back on track, and it says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You've went through your hour plus prayer, because if you did everything I just talked about, took your time, you would be already well into past an hour. Larry, what was his name? Larry Lee from Texas. He used to have teaching on, can you pray 1 hour with me? Jesus said, can you not just pray 1 hour with me? A good thing, and you can if you follow this outline. You can pray 1 hour. But then when you get done and you recognize your release and you can go, then you just come to the place of going right back and thanking him for all that he's done in your life. And Lord, thank you that whoever I come in contact with today, help me to have wisdom on what I say. I keep going back to when we taught on James not very long ago. One of the revelations I got this time in it is, if you don't have wisdom, he says, ask. And then he says right behind it, and I will give you the wisdom. Well, folks, at the end of this prayer, Lord, I'm going to be running into people. I have no idea who I'm going to come in contact with today. No idea. You go to Walmart, you're going to meet all kinds of people. You may change their life forever. So, Lord, give me wisdom who I come in contact with. Give me wisdom when we run into situations and circumstances where I don't know what to do. I've got to have wisdom from you, Lord. Lord, I thank you because you're the power and you're the glory and you're everything in my life, Father. You can't start your day bad if you go out of prayer like that early in the morning. Everything will change and everything will come around. In Hebrews 13:15, it says, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God with the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him, to his name. If you turn everything back to him, I always suggest getting up a little earlier or get in your car when you go to work and turn off the radio and just spend time talking to God, just in this. And after you do this a few times, you can quote the Lord's Prayer. Like you can quote the prayer and then get to the spot and say, okay, now I'm going to stay right here for a while. And then just back up and quote the prayer again. And just, you'll eventually learn the pattern and you'll learn, wow, I can pray for an hour real easy driving to work. I can pray for 30 minutes. And I can guarantee you that when you go in your workplace, you'll be a different person if you get in the habit of spending that half hour instead of this. I used to, my day was KC95. Real rock radio. Well, that's what I was. I was a rockhead. But when I changed and started driving to the mines, turning it off and spending time with him, and then I would grab my Walkman. Do y'all remember the Walkman, you older folks? And put it on my side right here. Put on my earphones and get in my machine and run all day and run through Joyce Meyer tapes as fast as I could run through them. That's what changed my life. Why? Because this is what changed my life. And this is the only thing that's going to change it the right way. And then if you follow his pattern in praying, you're touching hearts and lives of people that you see every day in here, and you come in and you recognize somebody, and you don't have to even talk to them, but when you're in prayer, their face comes up. You know a little bit about what they do in life and a little bit about what they do in life, and you just say, Lord, your will be done in Nancy's life. I don't know what's going on in Nancy's life. I'm so thankful that she's here, but Lord, just bless her. And then you start building a relationship without even knowing you're building a relationship. This guy here has been on my heart a lot. Well, why? Because he's broke all the time. I'm talking about his body broke. Physically, he's a wreck. So he needs somebody to pray. So God puts him on my heart and we pray. And he's still here. You should have died 15 times ago. True. That's what prayer is, folks. It changes lives. It changes lives. Father, we thank you. Father, we're so thankful that you've got the answer to everything and every situation that's going on in our lives. And we've got so many people that we know that are suffering and so many people that are hurting. And Father, we just ask that you would drop those people on our hearts as we're just spending quiet time along with you, that we could lift up different people. Different situations, different circumstances, Father, that could just allow their lives to change for the better because you're using us, Father. We thank you that you give us what we need. We lay the track, and you always, always, always answer the prayer. And, Father, we thank you for it. We give you all the praise tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Call you blessed. You got about 2 minutes before the kids come running through. Prayer for anything. I will be up here.